I heard something very strange the other day. Someone saying that Buddhism had no word for hope. Well, we do have the word for hope. Patigankha. Hope. Expectation. When the mind is defiled, a bad destination can be hoped for. When the mind is undefiled, a good destination can be hoped for. And the Pali language has ways of expressing injunctions, where you express a hope, may this happen, may this not happen. In fact, the whole purpose of the teaching is to give rise to hope, that whatever you're suffering from, there is a way out of that suffering, and there's a way to put a total end to all suffering. So as we practice, we nurture our hopes. Simply that we have to be very careful about where we focus our hopes. You read the news nowadays, it all seems to be intended to make you feel hopeless and helpless. Things going on in the world that you can't control. And that seems to be the emphasis of the message. We have to realize it's driving home a point that the Buddha made a long time ago. Hope lies in here, in the potentials you have within you. As John Lee would point out many times, that we human beings have lots of potentials inside, both in the body and in the mind, that we don't make good use of, we don't take advantage of them. So as you sit down to meditate, ask yourself, what do you hope for? And some desires will come up as you think about it. Look at your desires and see if they're in line with the Dharma, and if they're in line with where the Buddha said the hope lies. Hope lies right here in this fathom-long body, as he called it, with its perceptions and intellect. That's where the potentials lie. In the body, of course, the first thing we've got is the breath. And you can explore the breathing. There's a lot more to the breath than just in and out. Try to notice when it comes in, how does it come in? What are your subconscious actions around bringing the breath in? Do you have to tense up a part of the body? All too often we tense up in our joints, in our extremities. Almost as if they acted as a fulcrum, so the breath energy could be brought in. But you remind yourself, the breath energy is actually there in the body. The air outside is what you bring in, but the breath energy is what flows inside. And it doesn't require attention. So start with the fingers and work your way up. I noticed that the outline of the body, especially the outline of the hands, is a good place to start to relax and to keep things relaxed as you breathe in, as you breathe out. Then do the whole outline of the arm. Start with the feet, up to the outline, around the legs, up around the torso in the head. Then go through inside. Try to get deeper and deeper as you work in. You have a much more comfortable place to stay that way. That's why you're using your intellect and the body at the same time. The intellect asks the right questions and gives you ideas. You're using your perceptions. What is your perception of what's necessary for the breath to come in? What's necessary for the breath to go out? Do you have to push it out? You don't really have to push it out. It's going to go out on its own. The question is simply, at what rate do you allow it to go out? To what extent do you want to change the rhythm to counteract any imbalance there may be in the body? Because sometimes the body gets in a vicious cycle. You breathe in a weird way, and it sets up patterns of tension that make you breathe in continually weirder ways. So it's good to learn how to break the cycle. I found back when I had migraines, that I'd get into a cycle of breathing that where it felt really constricted. And the more I allowed it to be constricted, the worse it got. And the only way to break out was to breathe in a way that was actually painful. Expand my abdomen as much as possible to the point where it's even painful. Do that for a couple of minutes. That would reset everything. Because especially when you have migraines, you start getting afraid of the pain. You need to breathe in ways that go around the pain. Don't want to disturb the pain, because if you disturb the pain, it seems to make it worse. But what actually happens is you get more and more tied up inside. This is where the Thai John's image of having a knife is good as well. Wherever there are bands of tension, like rubber bands around your head, rubber bands around your body. Think of a knife cutting through. Any thoughts that are like bands around your mind, cut those through as well. Remind yourself that your awareness is larger than your thoughts. And you can step outside. What happens all too often is that when you're in a thought, it's like being in a colored bubble. Everywhere you look, it's the color of that bubble. But if you step outside, pop the bubble, you realize, okay, not everything has to be colored by the bubble. So having the breath being centered in the body is a good way of stepping out. Or having that sense of the breath energy around the body. The cocoon that surrounds the body. Think of your awareness being sensitive to that all around. I know people who say they can see people's auras, and the quality of the aura will tell that person. What kind of pains the person is having, what kind of their mind state is like, what their physical state is like. So think of the energy surrounding you, and think of it being turned into a healthy energy, that it's there to support you, that it's there to nourish you. And this way you can explore the potentials in the body. And you realize that your experience of the body sitting right here in the present moment is not just a given. It does come from your past actions. But it's also shaped by your present intentions and your present understanding. And if you change the intentions and change the understanding, you can explore these potentials. Same, of course, with the mind. The mind can be changed. It may seem to have a tendency to make up its mind to do one thing and do something else. And it's learning how to notice that and not get frustrated, but of course not give in. But just drop whatever it is that was distracted you. Come back. And if it comes back, then you drop it again. And even if you spend the whole hour simply dropping a distraction, don't think that it was not a productive meditation. Because the fact that you're not willing to give in to that unskillful thought, you're creating new habits. In the Buddhist terms, you're bending the mind in a new direction. You're trying to bend it like a tree. The image the Buddha has is of a tree that leans to the east. When you cut it, it's going to fall down to the east. In the same way, you want to mind that when it gets cut, it's going to go in the right direction. When you finally cut your attachments, the mind will head towards peace. That's what you want. That's what you hope for. But it's not an empty hope, because you've been working in that direction. Inclining the mind. Toward peace, toward the direction you want. So don't think that you're stuck where you are, or that you have to stay stuck where you are, and that the path is one of learning how to be content with being stuck with where you are. You have to realize there are potentials here, and a lot of the potentials have not yet been developed. But you can develop them. You can train the mind to think in new ways. You can train the body to breathe in new ways. And there lies the hope. You don't have to get a different body. You don't have to get a different mind. The potentials for the path are here inside you. And we listen to the Dharma to give some idea of what the potentials are, how to nourish them, how to incline the mind and the body in the direction where we want it to go. So this is a very hopeful teaching. It's a lot more hopeful than teachings that would have us place our hope on someday maybe there will be true peace in the world, someday maybe there will be true equality, someday there may be justice. Those are all good things to work for as a gift to the world. You work in that direction. But the world has its way of saying no. And it can say no very forcefully. But the potentials you have inside here, you remind yourself, this is your territory. As long as you're here in the body, you've got this territory that nobody else can know. And of course, how your mind feels within, from within, is something nobody else can know. Even people who can read your mind can see it only from an outside perspective. But you're the one who can explore what the possibilities are here. And always keep in mind the Buddha's words that are meant to give you hope.